So good morning to Killarney Parkers here in the sanctuary and to those of us joining on Zoom. For those of you who've been here a little while, one of our you are familiar with this, but if you're newer to Killarney Park, one of our traditions in the past few years here is something that we've called Along the Way. Now, this is a time when someone from our community here, so it could be, and I know a number of you have already done this, share with us something of their faith journey. It might be an event that's happened to you, a favorite scripture or a song, or something that they've learned about life with God along the way of their lives. Maybe sharing promises and encouragement from the Bible, as we did 2 weeks ago, gave us all a chance to contribute a mini version of Along the Way. So now that you've done that, maybe the Worship Council will be talking to a number of you to see if you'd like to do more. Some of you know that I'm enrolled in Regent College's Graduate Diploma in Christian Studies program. And Regent is, for me, a rich place of learning and challenge, intellectually, my brain, emotionally, and spiritually. Today, I'll be sharing a little of my recent learning and reflection. So you might be expecting a sermon, but because I have no sermon training, I think of this as kind of an extended version of Along the Way. I'm retired now after 40 years in nursing, so I love the stories in Scripture about Jesus' healing encounters. One of my favorites is the story that Song Sen just read for us, the healing of a paralyzed man. It's the story also of friends willing to literally rip up the roof to bring him to Jesus, and of Jesus meeting the challenge of the religious establishment and demonstrating his identity and his power. This story is reported in three of the four Gospels, so it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We kind of expect to hear it in Luke because Luke was a doctor. It's rich with people, activity, and learning about Jesus, and Jesus' gifts of forgiveness, healing, and transformation in community. So we'll be looking in the passage in Luke 5 that Song Sen read for us, and so I'll offer some reflections and then an invitation. So the story opens, and we hear in Mark's account of this, that Jesus has come home to Capernaum after time in Galilee, teaching and healing, with crowds following him everywhere. And Luke tells us that the Pharisees and teachers of the law from Galilee and as far away as Judea and Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was kind of the head office for matters of religious law, were present to watch and to listen. One author describes these religious leaders as self-appointed guardians of the Torah, and we know the Torah is the first five books of our Bible. And they were suspicious of this radical new rabbi who seemed to pose a threat to their powerful position. Now, they had come to listen to his teaching and make up their minds about him. That's kind of what we do week by week, isn't it? We hopefully listen to the teaching of Jesus and make up our minds about him, as well as other things. From the context of Mark's account, one author concludes that this story takes place in the Capernaum home of Simon Peter and Andrew, not far from the synagogue. And if you visit Capernaum today, you can stand in the remains of that synagogue and imagine the crowds surging toward Jesus, eager to hear his teaching and see what he might do. So the Gospels tell us of some men carrying their paralyzed friend on his sleeping mat, trying to get him to Jesus, presumably so he could be healed of his condition and move freely. Now, we don't know whose idea it was to seek out Jesus in that jam-packed house in Capernaum. We do know from Matthew, Mark, and Luke that it was not easy to get access to Jesus to ask for healing. Given that the man was not able to move himself, he needed to literally be carried there. And once at the house, his friends found it impossible to navigate the crowd of people to even enter the house, let alone to get to Jesus' side. And what I find is interesting, there was no movement by the crowd to let him through. So what to do? Undeterred, they accessed the roof, removing tiles and digging through clay to create a hole big enough to lower their friend into the house, placing him right in front of Jesus. Now, this required some strength, some ingenuity, persistence, and presumably lots of reassurance for the man that they're lowering on the mat. I don't imagine this was a very secure enterprise. But most of all those things, they required a deeply committed faith in Jesus' healing power. That was really remarkable. I imagine Jesus, probably with dirt in his hair from the newly created roof opening, looking at the man and his friends with a warm smile and a deep and knowing gaze. He sees their faith, Luke tells us. Yet Jesus at first seems to bypass the very evident need of this man lowered to the floor in front of him. His first words are surprising. At least they're surprising to me. Friend, as we hear Luke's version, or son, or man, your sins are forgiven. Is Jesus saying that the man's sin is responsible for his condition? This was a strongly held belief in ancient Near East religious culture of all kinds, worshiping all kinds of gods. And actually, these kinds of thoughts persist today. I think there's something else happening here. Jesus is communicating forgiveness and an invitation to this man to relationship by revealing who he is, not only to the man, but to all present. He is Lord of all, extending forgiveness and then healing. Forgiveness and healing happen in the context of relationship. Theologian Mehdi Volpe, who is someone who has combined expertise in understanding the needs of people with various disabilities and blending that with a study of God or theology, summarizes some distinctive features of this healing encounter, noting that the paralytic's case is doubly unusual because not only has he been carried to Jesus, but even the faith that heals him is not his alone. Here, it is not the individual but the group whose faith is seen. The cry for help is corporate. It comes from the group. Volpe continues, the second distinctive feature is the announcement of forgiveness. The connection between sin and affliction was well established. The healing of the blind man in John 9, for example, starts with a question, whose sin caused the man to be born blind? Jesus horrifies the religious professionals by claiming authority that to them was God's and God's alone. Who forgives sins? Only God. A third feature is the revelation that Jesus has come to bring this healing, this forgiveness of sins. Although there's an amazing outcome for the man when he's able to literally pick up his mat and walk home after years of paralysis, you know, you can spend 3 days in bed after the flu and not find it easy to walk around, but after years of paralysis, he picks up his mat and walks home. Volpe reminds us that the really remarkable thing happening here is Jesus forgiving sin. Here, Jesus reunites sin and affliction not to show that affliction follows from the sin, but to demonstrate he has the authority to forgive as well as to heal, a power that is recognized as only coming from God. So imagine the conversation that Peter and Andrew might have had about the events of that day, maybe while they're repairing their roof. Did they recognize their home as holy ground? where Jesus revealed his divinity, where not only the life of the man who was forgiven and healed was changed, but the lives of all present, all those people jammed in the house and outside, were changed by their responses to what they had seen and heard. It's easy to acknowledge the gift of the deep care of the men for their paralyzed friend. They let no barrier, literally no barrier, and there were lots of them, standing in the way to get him to Jesus, confident in Jesus' healing power. Jesus himself commends their faith. Perhaps less obvious is the gift of the paralyzed man for his friends and to those in the crowd. Volpe argues that although he seems to offer nothing in this situation except his need for healing, that need is precisely what his friends require. His paralysis provides them with a reason to go to Jesus. His need for healing becomes an occasion for God's glory to be revealed. It appears that he only receives help from his friends and healing and forgiveness from Jesus, yet actually he has a most important gift to give. Volpe continues, "The kind of community that the body of Christ implies does not come easily, and it takes more than just a weekly handshake," although weekly handshakes are meaningful too. "The community gathers, the friends come round the paralytic, and together they go to the Lord. And the ones who have come to give, to carry the needy, find that they themselves receive in equal measure, though perhaps different in kind." Perhaps you can relate to that. Maybe you've carried a friend or loved one and felt that you were blessed to be able to be present with them, that you were aware of the presence of God even in times of deep suffering. Perhaps some of you have heard about an organization called Sanctuary Mental Health Ministries. Sanctuary's mission is to equip the church to support mental health and well-being through education and resources. And some of us here at Killarney Park did the Sanctuary Mental Health Ministries course early last year. One of the things I particularly appreciate about the Sanctuary course is we can hear from real people sharing their lived experience with mental health challenges. It's not just theory, it's real life. And as they speak of times dark and painful in their health journey, they gifted the course participants with a compassionate understanding. It means something, it means a lot to hear those precious accounts shared. They've invested their experience to the benefit of many communities worldwide, not just locally, but worldwide. In this church, my beloved Killarney Parkers, I hope that I've sometimes been a friend on the roof, but I know I have been the one on the mat too, needing help to be with Jesus. You have helped me more than you know, faithfully and compassionately removing barriers to get me to Jesus. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And yes, I long to be one who cares for others, in faith working together to remove barriers so that people can know the loving forgiveness of Jesus, the experience of healing, and to be transformed in relationship with him and with each other. John Swinton, one of my professors in the mental health course I took in January at Regent, is a nurse theologian, I love that combination, who has worked with many people experiencing health challenges. He writes that when his kids ask him what superpower he'd like to have, his choice might surprise us, and maybe it might surprise Caleb, I don't know. It's to be gentle and kind at all times. And there is great news, Killarney Parkers. This very superpower is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Hearing from those with lived experience of mental health challenges, Dr. Swinton concludes, there is a tremendous power and beauty in the suggestion that the church is called to be a specialist in human kindness. Small acts of kindness, tenderness, and thoughtfulness bring healing. He says, it's really not that complicated. So I've shared some of my reflections. Now here's the invitation. And as our brother Nick would say, let's take a moment to start a conversation with God. We're seeking to hear from the Lord who forgives us, gives us each other in community, and heals us. As we think about God's forgiveness, his healing, and his power to transform our lives and our world, perhaps we could ask him what he would have us do and be in the coming months. Who are the people on our hearts and minds who need specialists in human kindness? Over these next days and months, let's continue to talk with each other and with the Lord. Maybe we can have a conversation over lunch today. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Dear Lord, thank you that you have come to welcome us into relationship with you, that you forgive us, heal us, and transform us. Thank you that you have given us each other, that we might help each other to love you and to do the good things you had in mind for us long, long ago. Thank you that just like the man on the mat who needed healing, we can be a blessing. Thank you that just like his friends, we can be persistent, creative, and faithful in our caring and in our prayers as we come to you and encourage others to come to you for forgiveness, healing, and transformation as your sons and daughters. And now, dear Father, for my friends of Killarney Park Church, I pray the prayer of Paul, the church, for the church at Ephesus, from Ephesians 3. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything on heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. Thanks be to God.